Okay, the next question. Feelings don't change the facts, but where do they come in relation to our practical Christian walk? Does the difference between having head knowledge and knowing with our hearts have anything to do with emotions?
Read that again.
Feelings don't change the facts, but where do they come in relation to our practical Christian walk? Does the difference, let's look at these in two separate questions.
Okay.
Feelings don't change the facts, but where do they come in relation to our practical Christian walk?
Read the second part also, please. We can have it into two questions.
Well, it does seem like it's two separate questions. But the second says, does the difference between having a head knowledge and knowing with our hearts have anything to do with emotions?
Let me try. See if we could get some help here. The question have to do with emotion, if I heard it correctly.
And feelings.
And how is that? Read the first part one more time. Sorry, John.
It's okay.
We should say something here. We don't want anyone to think that we would make fun of a question. We want to try to decipher exactly what you're asking us so that we can apply. And I'm not saying that to you anymore, just for all of us, just to make someone realize that because we are having a little difficulty apprehending exactly what you're asking, that's why we're looking at it pretty closely.
Yeah, usually when you write something, you know what you're talking about, but then when somebody hears it, we want to make sure that exactly what you're asking is the
question. That's right.
Feelings don't change the facts, but where do they come in? What I'm putting in, so it makes it a little clearer, in relation to our practical Christian walk. Does the difference between having head knowledge and knowing with our hearts have anything to do with emotions?
God created us as human with feelings. Spirit, soul, and body is man what man is. Feelings is part of God's creation. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth as a perfect man, expressed feelings. He moved with compassion. That's a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
He wept when he was sad. He said, my soul is troubled. He said, I am exceedingly, in Gethsemane, sorrowful. So there are feelings. That is part of being a human. Okay, I use the Lord Jesus to express how perfect he was as a man. He was a man. He had feelings. So feelings are part of who we are. God created us with feelings. Sin came in.
That's good.
Sin came in. When God created Adam, Adam had feelings. When sin came in, feeling, mind, and body was tainted by sin, and it affected the way man think, it affected the way man feel, and it affected the body of man. That's why there is sickness. Not only that, there is death. That was a result of sin. Okay. So when sin came in, it affected everything. Cain hated his brother and killed him. That's a feeling. Now, there was a feeling before sin came in, but now because sin tainted that feeling, it hate express itself, and action took place, and he killed his brother. So what we wanted to say is that as human, we have feelings. Because we are born in sin, our feelings have been tainted by sin. When you get saved, when you come to the Lord Jesus, you get a new nature, you get the Spirit of God. You still have the old man in you, who still have some influence on those feelings. The Spirit of God desire to take control of your body, your soul, and your spirit, including your feelings. So, feelings are there. How do they come in our practical Christian life? They come in there. We have feelings. But Christianity goes beyond also feeling. Because Christianity takes us from the realm of sense, of touching and feeling, because none of us have seen the Lord Jesus with these eyes. But though we have not seen him, we believe. So we have a system of faith. And that sanctified everything, including our feeling. So my feeling will be deceiving if I follow only my feeling that is tainted by sin. What I do is this. I take the word of God. It doesn't matter how I feel. And that may be even related to the question before that. It doesn't matter how I feel. It matters really what the word of God is saying. And the word of God should take control of my feelings. The word of God should have control on my feelings. The Spirit of God should have control on my feelings. So then they will be in alliance with what God designed for me. I'm just trying to give a general overview of feelings so we would not get them mixed up. We have to realize that we have feelings. We have to realize as a result of sin, these feelings are tainted with sin. And we have to realize as a Christian, we have the Spirit of God who should take control of those feelings.
So those feelings now that we have as believers are new feelings. They're no longer the feelings relative to sin and its failure. Because look, remember when the prodigal comes home, what does the father say? Let us make merry. Remember, that's a feeling. Merry meant over what? Over the fatted calf. So now, it's not the feelings that are natural to the first man anymore. They are feelings that are commensurate with the new man. Because what you get is, even Paul to Philippians talks about rejoice in the Lord. That's the expression of feelings, but not natural feelings. Those are the feelings of Christ. Now, if we had a Christian company where there were no feelings, we would be an awful bunch of people. Very sad. But there is what is connected to the new man. Feelings relative to that, which are quite in order. And I want to just tie in that with what Emil is saying, because he's perfectly right. Natural feelings are gone. But what we have now are feelings towards Christ. So that, isn't there a point in time for some of us, for most of us, when, as we've been singing, something touches the heart and there is a tear that trickles down the eye? Aren't those responses of emotion? Emotion that's governed by not what is natural, but what is spiritual.
Can we also say what we had in our readings? That when you and I came to know the Lord Jesus, God began to work immediately to change the way I think. I once thought, and everything revolved around, a man that has gone down in judgment. Last summer at Grove City, we had an overview of this man. And we remember from Romans, we found that x-ray, or whatever it was we called it, showed us that man...
MRI.
He was bad from top to bottom. And I mentioned this verse today. I'll read it. It's Romans 12, and it's verse 2. It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Spirit of God is going to work in you and I, if we allow Him, that my feelings are going to be in accord with the written word of God. When they're not in accord with the written word of God, I've got a problem. Now, we might be surprised to see that the first verse that comes after this verse that speaks of the renewing of the mind says to that believer, I say through the grace of God given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. God begins right away in changing our thinking process. And the first thing he starts with is that man. He starts with that man. Now, that's a tremendously important lesson. I didn't finish the verse 2. Transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I don't think that a believer can ever trust his feelings as far as that man is concerned. I can never trust them. I always have to come back and have my feelings
checked by the word
checked
of God.
By the word of God.
There's a verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I was thinking of. And Paul says to Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Verse chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Feelings will betray us. I don't know if you've ever experienced this as a Christian, but where you have had some thoughts that were not pure, you've done some things that were wrong, and the enemy comes up and he challenges your feelings. He says, "You can't be saved acting like this, having those thoughts," right? I'm sure you've felt, you've gone through that experience. There's a brother in my meeting that used to say, the devil would shake you up so much that you start wondering if you're really saved. And you have to take the Bible and turn down and say, "God says it here, read it for yourself." Because he was not operating on his feelings, but he was assured from God's word that even though he might have failed, God still said, "You're eternally secure." And so Paul was telling Timothy, these are the things, young people, that you have been instructed of from your childhood. And he said to Timothy, and he says it to us, these are the things that you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. There is a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. And it does have, a dramatic impact upon feelings. We all receive information through our brains. And I think what we're being asked here is if head knowledge or that knowledge simply resides here, would it have an effect upon how I feel? Well, yes, it will. Because it hasn't made its way down to the heart, and it hasn't made its way practically in the way in which I walk. Theoretical knowledge, it's like reading a textbook, understanding, but not ever having put anything in practice. Paul said, "You've been assured of these things. The scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation." You're able then to, these things are then seen in a practical way, young people. And again, emotions and feelings are part of who we are, but they all have to be governed by the Word of God.
What is the Word of God? And we have to consider that when we make that comparison. And if this to say that it is the permanent, unchanging expression of God's mind, compare that to my thoughts, and I think we have a good answer.
Which changes
constantly.
Every minute.
Sometimes I feel good, and sometimes
that's
I...
right.
Tony, can I give you just one other verse? I think it's always important to have Scripture. Somebody's quoted from Philippians. "Those things which ye have both learned..." Now, I don't know how you would feel about this, but I might think of that learning as the beginning of the process, head knowledge. But Paul says, that which you've learned, you've received. Now, that's not head knowledge any longer. That's Philippians 4:9. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard," and Paul says, "seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So it was again with the Galatians. They had received certain truths. They weren't acting in the light of it, but they had received it. So, you know, the head knowledge is perhaps learning, and the receiving is the taking of that knowledge into my heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee.
And we don't want to despise knowledge.
No.
We don't want to put a premium on ignorance.
That's
Scripture
right.
said, brethren, don't be ignorant. You know, sometimes we are so lazy and we say, well, oh, this is only head knowledge. You know what? You have to know. You gotta know. Paul said, I know whom I believe. So there is no excuse for not knowing. But when you know something, you act upon it. Look, when the Lord Jesus was born, Herod asked a question. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Boy, the scribes and the Pharisees didn't say, well, let's go home and just let's search it out and find a verse. Right away, they quote that verse. In Bethlehem of Judea. They know right away where it is. And they quote the verse. Well, how many of them went to see him? How many of them said, well, okay, let's go. It happened. No, they know they can quote the verse, but they didn't live it at all. And you have to know. Because you have said it the other day. The Lord will never give you a verse that you have not read in the time when the question comes. So you have to know the Word of God. You have to know God's mind. You have to read the Word of God. You have to take the Word of God in. You have to know it. And then the Word of God is a living Word. And as a result of that, you will walk and you will practice what you said. But John's point is very important. It's the Word of God. This is the abiding thing. Check everything. Check your what you hear. Knowledge, check it with the Word of God. How you feel, check it with the Word of God. Check everything with the Word of God. In the light of the Word of God, you will know what's right and what's wrong.
Just another verse. I was thinking when I first read the question, and Proverbs 3, verses 4 to 6. So shall, no, 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And I think that relates to both head knowledge and emotion.
So that's a good verse. You know, sometimes we have it right in our hands, young people. These are verses that you were taught to memorize in Sunday school. And it's the reason why we were taught these verses is so that when the enemy comes up against us, we can raise up a standard. That's what we have to do, though, is to recognize that God has given us every resource to answer these questions. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord.
Amen.